Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
So we are delighted to be joined now by the best-selling book partnership, author James Patterson and former US President Bill Clinton, who have teamed up once again on an all-new thriller. The First Gentleman sees American President Madeleine Wright's husband on trial for murder. But is he a killer? President Bill Clinton and James Patterson, you are both very, very welcome to the programme.
Nice to be in Ireland again. Sort of.
Kind of. Listen, we know that this isn't a new partnership for you. This is your third book together, so you're somewhat old hands at this stage, and I have had an opportunity to read it. It's a great read. President Clinton, I might just start with you, because the book is set once again in the White House, which of course is your former home. And perhaps you bring to this writing partnership something that only a president could have, those insights. How much of your own real life experiences have you brought to bear on this fictional president, Madeleine Wright?
Well, I wouldn't say I brought to bear my exact experiences, but my life experiences inform how we write about it all, because I'm trying to be as realistic as possible and still enable us to tell a story which, thank God, has not yet been required to unfold in reality. I think the experiences helps a lot between Jim's unparalleled ability to write gripping stories and my experience, I think, made a pretty good effort.
What separates these thrillers, mysteries, is, I mean, if I write them by myself, I'm just making everything up. I can't do that with the president. So it's the authenticity, it's real. If I'm writing about the Secret Service and he'll say, or if he's writing the chapter, well, that wouldn't happen. It might happen this way. And I think that's a cool thing about it. It's a really good story, but it's also a way for people to find out kind of what it's like in Washington, what it's like in the White House, for real.
Yeah, and it really is those particular, the little details and the insights. James Patterson, Lee Child, no less, says that this novel is the political thriller of the decade, which is great, great high praise for you both. What is it about this genre of the political thriller that still captivates you and your hundreds of millions of people who buy your book? What is it about the political thriller genre for you?
Well, thrillers in general, I mean, partly they want to escape, but they also want resolution. They want at the end of the thing, because in real life, a lot of times we don't get that resolution. We're still looking for it, A piece of this is like the Woodward and Bernstein, because we have these two reporters who are searching for the truth. Did the First Gentleman, is he a murderer, or is he being victimized here? And that search for the truth is fascinating. It's very dramatic in itself, and we try to make it real.
Yeah, and in fact, there's two power couples, really, in a sense, political and journalistic, that you hone in on. And President Clinton, it does, in the first instance, centre on a power couple. The First Gentleman is a former star NFL footballer. His wife is POTUS. And this is a power couple where one of the people in the couple could be a potential liability for the other, namely the one, President Wright, who's running for a second term. And I was wondering what drew you to this particular dynamic, because normally where you have this kind of story, it's the man who's in the more powerful role, isn't it, President Clinton?
Well, first of
Not
all...
Not in our houses.
Yeah, there is that. Well, being the First Gentleman is the only political job that I failed to secure.
Would you have relished that role?
Yeah, I wanted to do it because I wanted Hillary to be president, and I thought she'd be great. But it helped us to think about how we would feel. So, our character was a professional football player, big macho guy who got hurt and it shortened his career. But how did he deal with all these responsibilities? And on the surface, he's very admirable. He's proud of his wife. He doesn't try to do her job. He tries to find something useful to do. But you never know what's going on underneath and how he's dealing with it, particularly at a young age. And so we tried to use that as part of the intrigue. And also, political thrillers are always exciting because when you have to work that hard to get power and to keep it, if you're not careful, you wind up doing things or having things done for you that go over the line. and you never know where it's all going to end. And it's dramatic. That's what it's about.
Yeah, and because he was almost the first, or could have been the first gentleman, you know, the president had thought about that a lot. Not too many people on the earth have thought about what it would be like to be the first gentleman. There's no reason for anybody, most people, to think about that. Yeah.
And it's really extraordinary because what you also see, James and President Clinton, in this book is that this story is about the families of people, you know, who are married to someone in that, you know, that political centre of power. They're also in the spotlight too. And it's very interesting to see how they cope with all of that, that involves. I wanted, James, to ask you, you decided obviously together to make the President of America female, something that has only happened so far in creativity and in fiction, whether it's in film or in books. Why did you decide to have a female POTUS this time?
Because it should happen, and it should have happened. there's so many wonderful women out there. Even the last election would have been nice if, well, we did have a woman running, obviously. But yeah, no, I think women should be running the world, personally.
I'm not going to object to that. I'll agree to that. Can I ask you, James, sir, you've stated before that truth can be stranger than fiction when it comes to politics. And when the external environment is so thrilling and compelling in its own right, does that make it easier or harder for the fiction writer to hold something up to that reality?
Well, it's a challenge for sure. I remember this is a while back. You know, Philip Roth said this is way back, and he said he couldn't write any more fiction because he couldn't compete with reality. Well, what's going on right now, you really start to go, well, can we really compete with what's going on in the world right now? So it does become more challenging for sure.
President Clinton, what's really interesting about this book is, and so something you've commented on before, that, you know, American politics can be a bit like a blood sport. What do you mean by that? And again, it is a big theme in the book. So can you speak to us about that?
Well, there's four or five examples in this book, but essentially every day, underlying every interaction, there is the continuing shift in where's the power here, who's in control, what's going to happen. And people who are good at politics normally want power. The best ones want to use power to do something really good, to help somebody else. But there's always the risk of abusing that power. And so every political novel has to contain a part of that. And there's a fair amount of it in real life.
And do you think another thing it addresses, President Clinton, is just to the extent to which politics has become so deeply polarized. In writing this book of fiction, were you trying to find a way out of that at all, or do you see a way out of that?
I do, but I think we need someone to run for president who's willing to lose as well as who wants to win. You have to have a message that other people can relate to, and then you have to conduct yourself in a way that shows we're going to lift our country out of the mire. We're not just going to be stuck in the mud here. We're going to, you know, do things together that will make us stronger. I still think there is a significant majority of the people who would support such an approach if they actually believed in the candidate and if you were effective enough to push back against the blizzard of misinformation that is in the social media, in the mainstream media, in the endless array of new social media sites that are coming online. You know, we're in a blizzard of information with limited ability for many people to sort through it and know what to believe and what not. So I think this is a particularly important time for people to see how this president handles the most personal and painful threat of all to her husband, and how all the people around her, a vice president who is probably dying, what's he going to do about it?
But if you think about, I mean, what happens in this novel, this would be an unbelievable news story. The idea that the president's husband it could be a murderer. If you think about it in real life, and that's what we try to create, that as though it really happened. And that's the trick. And to make all of the detail as real as you could possibly make it. But you feel like, okay, if something like that happened, it could be like this.
And what do you want your president to do? Do you want her to be a loyal spouse? Mm-hmm. Do you want her to stand by a person she loves and believes in? Do you want her to keep her distance and look like she's putting the country first.
Yeah, and it really explores that. It's the exploration of a marriage as much as anything else. And look, I mean, this is a thriller and it is credible, but it's not a polemic. But I was wondering, President Clinton, when you look, you're talking about that candidate that you feel that perhaps the majority do want that change. Were you speaking perhaps subliminally to the Democratic Party in any way, which was sort of widely perceived to have been in disarray after that last election? Are you hoping that it might contain broader messages, or is it just about the fiction?
Well, it's just part of fiction, but it's also true. I mean, after the last election, I think that most of the leaders and would-be leaders in our party have conducted themselves responsibly. But voters who lost that election, activist Democrats, they want to continue the fight, especially since President Trump is so unlike his predecessors in his willingness to break rules and norms and take on courts and everybody else. But I think it's important to recognize that in the end, the only thing that matters is if you don't have the votes to beat somebody, then you have to say, is it more important for me to scream about it or to try to work out some way to have some influence over the outcome? And meanwhile, to develop an alternative message and hope to win the next election. And I think that we forget the people who are so politically active that people are paying attention. They're making judgments. And you have to trust the people to do this and then, you know, carve a path through right now to push what you believe in, but not don't pretend that it's the next election. I mean, I did not even announce for president until October of 1991, just barely a year away. Now we expect people to run for four straight years, and we expect the candidate voters not to get bored because this is no disrespect, but you and everybody else in the media, you got to fill all these days with news.
Days and nights, President Clinton. James, can I just bring you in on that? Because the other power couple in this book are journalists. And this book is so prescient, even if it's fiction, it does speak to big issues, polarisation, America's debt, lots of different issues. But it also speaks to, I suppose, the need for important public interest journalism, quality investigative journalism. And again, I'm just wondering, we've got two investigative journalists, Garrett and Brea. Were you in a way trying to celebrate or, you know, maybe support journalism, or what do you think of the current state of journalism?
100% support good journalism, to support the search for truth, because we need to believe in journalism. As the president said earlier, I mean, a lot of stuff on the internet, it's kind of crazy because people are looking for the truth. They don't believe a lot of the traditional sources, but where they're looking is a lot of the wrong places. And so, yes, to me, it was very important that Brea and Garrett come off as I don't say heroic, but they're honestly looking for the truth. That's what they want to do. And that's what most journalists want to do, most. Yeah. And we need to believe in journalism again. I mean, right now, a lot of people in this country, they're negative about journalism. And that needs to get fixed. So a piece of this is, yes, we do need to believe in our journalists.
And it's really
showed. They showed these journalists were risking their lives, and they showed something I think is really important. One of our characters, Brea, is wrong about something that's unfolding in the plot. And when she faces this, she almost can't believe it, but she immediately turns on a dime and does the right thing.
Yeah, one of the interesting things with Brea is we've sold it for movies, and we have Stephen Knight, who did Peaky Blinders, is going to write which is great because he's a great, great, great writer. And in talking to him, he does see Brea as the key character here.
Yeah, and it's wonderful to see that two of the strongest characters in the book, in the First Gentleman,
are women.
And it's wonderful to see it. I've one last question just to ask you both before I let you go. And it is, you know, what it shows up is that all human lives are messy, even and perhaps especially the lives of presidents, fictional or otherwise. And I was wondering, President Clinton and James Patterson, was it important for the reader to have an empathy, maybe even trespassing on a sympathy for the characters who are involved in these very high stakes, high risk pursuits?
It's hugely important. And we struggled with this because initially, the first draft or so, you know, as President Clinton said, we didn't like the characters very much. And we struggled with that, not to make them perfect, to make them believable. And I think they are believable. And that's really important. And they have flaws, for sure.
But I think what I think you see in this book, I hope, is first, there's never a time in politics when power is not an issue and people are struggling over. Secondly, these are real people and they do have principles and they care about this country and the world. And thirdly, there's no statute of limitations once you get in politics on, earlier sins. So did this guy do it? And if so, what should his wife do? What is the responsibility of a president?
Yeah.
To stand by her man or to stand by her country? And can it be reconciled, both these things?
Well, I'm not going to give away the answer to that question. And I can't wait to see what the pair of you get up to next. But it's a great read. And I really enjoyed speaking with you both today, former US President Bill Clinton and author James Patterson. The First Gentleman is published by Penguin. It's out now. And gentlemen, we thank you very, very much for joining us today.
Thank you.